Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 94. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Wolf, what are they?
Bear Podcast.
We're going to wear black spandex.
Okay, here are bear events.
Bears and cubs.
Either way, you're going to be gay.
With so many topics that we cover today.
Well, not only that, you mentioned about, you know, iTunes.
You like balls, is what you're saying.
Greetings, listeners of the Bear Podcast. This is ex-Cali Bear calling.
But all fun, you know, all fun, no pressure.
To go critical, man.
Another bears, cocktails, food, and free for anyone outside the greater Houston area. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Bear Podcast. Yes, this is your host, the Nard.
And this is ex-Cali Bear.
Yes, and I'm here in the suburbs of Houston.
And I'm here in the suburbs of Dallas.
Oh, wow. Course. How's the weather there right now? It's getting cooler?
Cold. It's 41 degrees right now. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's cold.
I thought mine is cold. 50 degrees. Yeah.
It's Bay Area weather.
And you thought you got away from it already, huh?
Well, I heard I could enjoy this for like a month or two, and then it goes back to it being the extreme Dallas weather. So,
weekend update.
I hope that went well. I hope that wasn't too loud. Okay, so yeah, weekend update. So what happened to you last weekend?
I worked, and I worked, and I worked, oh, and great. I worked.
All right. Okay, next segment. Okay.
Yes, this is that time of year where people who work retail have no lives. So worked and worked and worked. I do have a funny story that I want to say about something that happened at work, actually, involving this little kid. This kid couldn't have been older than 7 or 8 years old. And he was driving me nuts. He was driving Bill nuts, my manager, the bear manager. Mm-hmm. He was driving both of us nuts because he would not stop asking questions. And
about what?
Everything. Why is this color? Why do you sell this price? Blah, 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 blah. We're like, shut up, kid. And so he comes up to the register with his mom to buy some sort of, you know, cheap tchotchke that we sell there. And so I'm the one that rings him up, and I give him his total, and he pulls his wallet out of his pocket, and he reaches in, and he pulls all his money out of his wallet, and he looks up at me with the money sprawled out and goes, "I'm rich, bitch!"
Oh, God.
Right in front of his mother.
Oh,
and
wow.
What was great, though, was not the fact that this little kid just said, "I'm rich, bitch," but the mother's instant reaction was to smack him across the face. And it wasn't even like a delayed reaction. It's like, "I'm rich, bitch!" Bam! You know?
Oh, wow. So that's how they raised them now, huh?
I bit my inner lip so hard I actually tasted blood because I was trying not to laugh.
What an exciting weekend.
That was my exciting weekend. Well, I did other stuff besides that, but I went to go see two major movies this weekend, but we'll get to those in a minute.
Oh, yeah, we'll do them reviews later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, last weekend was pretty busy for me. We went to the Texas Renaissance Festival again.
Ooh, huzzah!
I went there about 2 weeks ago, and it's pretty fun the second time around. Because you pretty much know what to expect, where to go, what show you want to see, the Dead Bob Show or whatever, or the Highland Games. And what else did we see? Yeah, there's a lot more eye candy this time because this is the last weekend for the Ren Fair. So, you know, people are, last weekend, so we got to go there. You know, everybody's going there. And the theme was Celtic Christmas, so it's more Christmassy. It was cooler, too, so there's more people in thick robes and there was even a Santa Claus there. So I don't know anything Celtic about that.
There was nobody in
chainmail.
Chainmail. I'm being distracted by Chris is decorating the house for Christmas right now, by the way, and he's got a strobe light and he's flashing the strobe light and all I can think of is epilepsy. Sorry. But nobody was wearing kilts or anything at all. It was just
There were some, and it's good.
They were wearing them traditionally.
Oh yeah, some of them do, ooh. Or some of them don't. Yeah, but there's a lot of lots of things to do there, like archery or dagger throwing, whatever. They also have a lot of food. That's one of the best parts.
Well, that's one of the best things. Yeah, did you get a turkey leg?
turkey leg. Well, I'm tired of turkey legs. They have steak on a stick. Those are good. And pork chops on a stick. Those are pretty good too.
Well, I know at some Ren festivals they call the steak on a stick steak on a steak.
Steak on a steak?
Yes.
Double steak. Yeah, it was fun. We were there the whole day. I didn't see any shows. I did see two or three weeks ago. I don't remember. I went there. I took some videos. So listeners, you might see some videos, pictures and videos that I took from there.
And did they have any like jousting competitions or anything?
Yeah. Let me see. When I was there, I really didn't see much of the Highland Games or any jousting competition. I think they do that on Sundays. I'm not sure of the schedule, but around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they usually do that. The stages, the arena is pretty big, and they usually do that towards the afternoon where it's warmer. But I didn't get to see it. I was too busy looking at other things. Wait, let me see. Hold on, I dropped my recorder. Am I still on? Am I still on? Yeah, I'm still on. Okay.
Hooray! Yeah. It's a blooper-filled episode.
Yeah, so yeah, that was my weekend. And I was supposed to watch Sunday. Yeah, we're recording this on a Monday. Sunday, the 8 Movies to Die For, was it?
Yeah, I wanted to go out and see those too, because there were a couple that were in that series that I really wanted to go see, but just I really honestly didn't have too much time. The two that I wanted to go see was The Grave Dancers, mm-hmm. The one about the people who dance on the graves and it pisses the dead off so they come to haunt them. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see that one, and I wanted to see Reincarnation. That was the Japanese horror film directed by the same guy who directed the Grudge movies. Yeah. Those were the two I really wanted to see.
Well, I was supposed to watch that yesterday, but I got tied up with some friends visiting. We played Mahjong instead. Yeah, I play Mahjong, yeah, I know.
How Joy Luck Club of you.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so you mentioned earlier that you have some movie reviews.
Yes, now even though I didn't get to go see 8 Films to Die For, there was 2 major films I did see this weekend. Okay. So I'm here with my reviews of them.
Okay, hold on, okay?
Mm-hmm. Bear Podcast Reviews.
All right, Bear Podcast Reviews. What do you have for us?
Well, the first movie I have is The Return of James Bond, Casino Royale. I was there for the very first showing opening day for this movie because I'm a Bond fanatic, and I really wanted to see how Daniel Craig does as James Bond. And let me tell you, the film series is in no danger. As a matter of fact, he's incredible. He's better than Pierce Brosnan in the role of James Bond.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his interpretation of James Bond is amazing because it's kind of hard to describe what type of film Casino Royale is, because technically it is a prequel. We get to see how James Bond became James Bond. Mm-hmm. We see the kills that he did that earned him the 007 status. We see why he treats women the way he treats them. We see how he got his Aston Martin. You know, we see all that stuff in this movie. We see we even see why he drinks martinis. Mm. So everything is answered, but it's not technically a prequel per se because it's not set in the early 60s or anything. So
technology was more advanced now, I guess.
Pretty sure Sony Ericsson wasn't around back then. The super high-tech toy phone that he had in this film. My God, that phone was amazing. Mm-hmm. But so I guess the best way to describe this movie is it's like a new beginning for James Bond.
What do you think is different? Among all the James Bonds?
Different in what way? You mean
physically, I guess.
This James Bond is a lot more grittier. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to get dirty. And when I say get dirty, not just dirty himself up or anything, but he's not afraid to fight dirty also. Mm-hmm. As for physical appearance, Daniel Craig is hot.
It's hotter than actually he's the first blonde Bond,
and it works, honestly. A blonde haired blue eyed James Bond works. And the thing is, going back to his hotness, there's plenty of shots in the movie where he's wearing really, really tight, wet bathing suits and showing off his body. And I have to be honest with you, this is the first time that seeing James Bond in the Bond movie got me a little stiff.
Were there kids there watching too?
No, it was all men. That was the funny part, was the movie theater was filled with all men and a couple of old ladies. So that was that consisted of the audience.
Sounds like a Rolling Stones concert.
Yes. But what was funny about it was the showing I went to was Friday at 11:15 in the morning. And it was a near sold-out capacity crowd. So that means a lot of people played hooky from work to go see this new James Bond film. The only complaint that I had with Casino Royale is I didn't really particularly care too much for the theme song. Called You Know My Name. It's kind of 1960s meets Audioslave, because it's done by the lead singer of Audioslave. Mm-hmm. It didn't really particularly work for me. I liked the look of the opening credit sequence, because it was a throwback to the 80s, like A View to a Kill and The Living Daylights style of animation when it came to the opening credit sequence. And that's honestly the only complaint I had about Casino Royale. The whole entire film, I know a lot of people complained that it's too long. Honestly, to me, it didn't seem like it was too long. It was great.
James Bondage, James Bondage, he's gotten tied up and held as a hostage. He's gonna nibble, gonna bite, gonna turn out the light. James Bondage.
So what else did you watch this weekend?
Well, I went to go see the movie that, as of right now, is my choice of best film of the year, and that's Happy Feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, for those who don't know, this is the movie about the tap-dancing penguins.
I was supposed to watch it yesterday, but I get...
Do not miss it.
Maybe this week. We'll see.
I've been wanting to see this movie ever since I saw the first trailer. They showed the first trailer for it back on the Super Bowl. And I just remember seeing this thing that looked like March of the Penguins, and I thought at first it was a trailer for March of the Penguins. All of a sudden, I'm seeing tap-dancing penguins, and I'm going, what is this? And then it says, Happy Feet coming this winter. And I went, okay, what was that I just saw? I need to see that again. And so I've been waiting all year for this movie to come out, and I went to go see it, and the movie just really blew me away. Cars has major competition at the Academy Awards this year for Best Animated Feature.
Isn't it that the penguins there are the it's some kind of a spin-off from Madagascar?
No, those
are not the same penguins, are they?
No, they're not. It's two races of penguins. It's like the Spanish Antarctic style penguins,
mm-hmm,
that are more closer to South America. And then you also have the penguins that live on the ice, the emperor penguins, which were the penguins that were featured in the documentary March of the Penguins. Mm-hmm. It features on those two breeds of penguins. And it's pretty accurate when it comes to the mating rituals of the penguins. They did their research not only on the penguin behavior, but on the landscape of Antarctica as well, because it honestly looked like you were in Antarctica. It was amazingly animated. At the same time, you know, you think about the idea of the movie and you think tap dancing penguins, this is just going to be, you know, a kid's film and whatnot. This movie got so incredibly deep, it was shocking, because the film deals with standing up to be yourself. The movie deals with persecution from the church. Happy Feet, yes. It deals subtly with persecution from the church.
God, it got all religious all of a sudden. Wow.
Yes.
I thought it's a kid's film.
There's definitely some Jesus undertones in the character of Mumbles Happy Feet.
Mm-hmm.
It also deals with class structure. It deals with how music is important to a child's life.
Mm-hmm.
It deals with the fact that it's okay to be different. And most importantly, there's an ecological message in the movie also that tells us.
Well, like all the other penguin films anyway, or like March of the Penguins.
Well, it basically shows us that, you know, what our actions not only affect us, but it affects everything on this earth. And it shows it in a way where it's not very preachy, but at the same time, it gets its message across. There's a lot going on in this movie. There's a lot of layers to it, and that is another thing that just made me go nuts over this film.
Yeah, probably this coming weekend, Mike and I could watch it after when we do Thanksgiving.
Prepare to have the soundtrack to get stuck in your head.
What's the soundtrack about?
Well, the soundtrack is very Moulin Rouge. As a matter of fact, they do this great tribute to Moulin Rouge at the beginning of the film with Nicole Kidman, which is very, very funny. She plays Norma Jean, and it's modeled after Marilyn Monroe, and Hugh Jackman plays the King, and it's modeled after Elvis Presley. And they do this duet where they're combining a bunch of songs, like the love song from Moulin Rouge, and you can't help but think Moulin Rouge during the whole sequence. But all the music is classic songs like Somebody to Love by Queen. The song that stole the whole show, which is Brittany Murphy doing Boogie Wonderland, which is just literally is the showstopper of the film. And at the same time, there's this great new song that Prince recorded for the film called the Song of Your Heart, which is pretty much guaranteed him an Oscar nomination. It's just you will walk away wanting the soundtrack to this film. It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, we'll probably watch out for it in the stores. Yeah, okay, so everybody, if you guys get a chance this coming weekend, this coming Thanksgiving weekend, go ahead and watch Casino Royale and Happy Feet. All right, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving, of course, and happy Thanksgiving to all.
Happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day, yes. And should be exciting because Mike's going to be here in Houston for 5 days. Yoo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. So he's gonna stay with
me. So we're going to celebrate it with a couple of friends. And it's going to be a big party weekend because, you know, Friday's off. And we can do shopping, I guess.
Yeah, you're going to go out there and dive into the trenches, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, Thursday, you're going to eat out a couple with a friend's house. It's pretty much like a housewarming party, I guess.
Oh, okay.
At this place. And then Saturday, there's going to be another get-together. And, oh, my God, I might be listening to this. Hold on. I must stop you from listening to this. Okay, I won't say any more because my friend might be listening. So,
Oopsie. Oops,
okay. Erase. No, I won't erase it. It's cryptic enough. Okay. So, how about you? What are you gonna do this coming weekend?
Oh, this will be actually. It's a little bit. I'm a little bit nervous and a little bit excited at the same time because this is my first Thanksgiving away from home. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of odd having a quiet house for Thanksgiving, not hearing screaming kids. But as Chris is just telling me, since his father's coming over, it won't be that quiet. So,
at least screaming it's not, fathers.
It'll be screaming fathers,
yeah. Screaming father-in-law.
But, at the same time, though, I won't be dealing with in screaming kids and running around the house and the potential of dropping the turkey.
Oh, speaking of such, oh my God, I had a taste of that yesterday because, like I said earlier, I have a couple of friends come over and they visited. We played mahjong here, and there were about 3 kids running around the house. Oh, God, it's driving me crazy. And I always look down. I would always look out if they're writing things on the wall, or they're jumping on the couch, or writing stuff on the couch, or throwing cards all over, or probably playing with my lightsaber. Mm. So I'm always afraid kids touching my lightsaber. No.
I'm leaving that comment alone.
No, it's a real one. Mike gave me one. You know,
Well, I hope you have a real lightsaber.
Well, yeah, it's one of those Sharper Image lightsaber ones.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that, pervert.
Gosh. Of course.
Start calling your home Neverland Ranch.
Yeah. I got that for my birthday, I think, from last year, yeah. Yeah, Mike gave it to me, so. Anyway, so I had the taste of having kids in the house, and I kind of don't like it.
Yeah, it's not fun. You know, it's not fun at all.
It's just me, you know. I don't know. It's good to live alone or live with Mike, being around here and just being or just going out with friends and stuff. And it's just not the lifestyle I want to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're as for you, you got away from that from California when you moved out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'll be a peaceful year for me this year for Thanksgiving. So, but at the same time, it'll be odd because I don't know exactly what Chris's family's traditions are for Thanksgiving and whatnot. So, yeah, it'll be a brand new experience for me. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to the day after because I have to work the day after.
Yeah.
But fortunately, my shift is from 12 to 8:30, so I don't have to wake up super early in the morning unless I really want to go shopping. And at the same time, I don't have to stay till midnight to close the store. So I got a good shift.
The advantages of being a manager, huh? You get to go home early.
I guess so, yeah.
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 Well, I don't know. Okay, personally, for me, I grew up not celebrating Thanksgiving because we in the Philippines, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, I don't think that's a holiday they really celebrate in the Philippines.
Yeah, so, well, I'm happy they have it here. So, this coming weekend, I remember now, it's every weekend, it's every Thanksgiving weekend. Well, it started last year, it started 2 years ago, I think. Wolf Fest, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Wolf Fest, and for the past last year I missed it, and this year we're missing it again because we're celebrating here in Houston Thanksgiving. Mm. So because we usually travel, Mike and I would always go to Fort Lauderdale, and we celebrate Thanksgiving there. And
I know a lot of people like to go to Hawaii for Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I'm like, what is it? What's so Thanksgiving about Hawaii?
Maybe they want the Loco Moco. did I tell you about that before, Loco Moco?
Oh, I've had Loco Moco.
You have? Oh, my God.
Or as I like to call it, the heart attack on a plate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't eat that every day, but
if you guys don't know what Loco Moco is, it's a bed of rice, and you put a beef patty on top of it, and sunny side up egg on top of it.
Fried in the hamburger grease.
Yeah, and then put gravy all over it. So for some people, it's really good. I tried it out once. Not too fond of it.
It's definitely you. I think you basically need a permit from your doctor before you eat it because it's so. Yeah,
it's so
heart attack inducing.
It could clog your heart right there.
Oh yeah,
but it's very it's for some people it's quite good. It's very popular there in Hawaii when I was last there.
Just give me the pig roasted in the ground and I'm happy.
Oh yeah, and the poi too.
Oh God, no. keep the poi.
Wait a second. We're talking about Thanksgiving here, okay? We can't have those. We have turkey. Right.
Oh yeah, I have turkey for my Thanksgiving. That's always been
so.
My tradition,
who's cooking? Chris is cooking.
We both are actually. Chris is cooking. I'm cooking, and Chris's parents are cooking. We've all decided to, in order to save time, each tackle dishes. Chris is cooking the turkey. He's cooking it in a way that I've never cooked it before. My family's way of cooking the turkey is defrosting the turkey, putting the seasonings on top of the turkey, putting some butter on the turkey, shoving that instant pop-up thermometer into the turkey, throwing it into the oven, and waiting for that thing to pop. That's been my family's way of cooking it. Chris is going to soak it in this Williams-Sonoma brine that he's getting. And he's going to here's Chris, ladies and gentlemen, to explain how he's going to cook the turkey.
Okay, tell us, Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Good over here. So, okay, what's your Thanksgiving turkey tip?
Well, if you really want to have a really good moist turkey, what you have to do is you have to... What? Shut up! Don't laugh at me!
Moist? Okay.
Well, because turkey tends to dry out.
Yeah, that's true.
And that ruins the whole meal because, the turkey is like the star of the show. And so what you have to do, excuse me, is you have to, hold on, stop laughing at me.
Okay, go.
Make me want to cry. Okay, basically, it's called brining the turkey. Anybody out there who cooks turkeys know that brining a turkey is basically you're giving it a salt bath approximately 18 to 24 hours before you actually cook it. And basically, it's just really simple. You don't have to buy anything at Williams-Sonoma, but I'm going to anyway because it's already pre-seasoned. But basically, it's a lot of salt, a lot of water, or you could even use vodka. Vodka is good in turkey.
Vodka?
And vodka. And your seasoning spices. And you just basically, you clean the whole turkey, you clean it out, take the giblets and everything out of it, and all the little package of innards and stuff they put in it for the gravy. You take all that out, you clean the turkey, you put it in the brine for about 18 hours ahead, you make sure it's in the sealed container like a cooler or something, like an ice chest or something. And it's not going to spoil because it's in all that salt. And basically, it's like a pound of salt, a pound of sugar, a pound of water, which is approximately 6 pints, I believe. And any other seasonings you want, or vodka or whatever. Vodka is good for turkey because it makes it moist. And what it does is that the salt will open up the protein molecules in the meat, and it'll absorb all the flavor and all the moisture. Mm-hmm. So that when you cook it, it won't dry out as quickly in the oven. Since it's a whole chemical reaction. It doesn't taste salty. It doesn't add all this sodium to the bird because it's absorbing the salt, but it's also absorbing everything else. And when it cooks, it'll all cook out like it's sweating or something, you know. And then what you do is what we learned the other day at Williams-Sonoma is the cheesecloth method, which is when you put the turkey in the oven to cook it, is the top of it, which is usually the breast, always dries out because it's at the top of the oven. Well, what you do is you take a cheesecloth and you put it on top of the turkey, and you keep the make sure it's a wet cheesecloth, and you put it on top of the turkey. And as you baste it with the cheesecloth on it every 30 minutes. And what the cheesecloth does is it's continually wet, and it will slowly drip into the chicken or the turkey breast, and that way it keeps it from drying out. And then you take it off like the last 30 minutes or so. Last 15, 20 minutes to make the crispy top that a turkey breast has, and that's what I
do. I remember you guys were mentioning that you're coming from that was last week. You were coming from a turkey cooking lesson, like that, right?
Yes, we did the turkey class thing at Williams-Sonoma in the
mall. So the chicken is now the turkey is now.
Well, you can do it for chicken too. That's the thing. You can do it for chicken if you want to. Any poultry you can do this for. It's mainly for turkey, but you can do it for chicken also.
I see.
If you wanted to.
So it's now soaked right now. Is it getting ready for Thanksgiving?
No, because it's way too soon right now. I'm not going to do it probably until
Wednesday
morning before I go to work. Mm-hmm. That way, it has all day Wednesday to soak.
Okay, I'm getting hungry now.
I know. I am too. And we just ate horrible Chinese. And this sounds, it's just still sounds good. So, and I'm making this stuffing. And
how are the decorations that you're doing? How is it? Are you done?
The Christmas decorations?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just getting them out. We haven't put them up yet.
Oh, okay.
Just getting them out.
That's another story.
Oh, my decorations. What? I want to tell the story.
Okay.
I want to tell it. Oh, Maynard says I can, so he overrides you. He overrules you, so he owns the show. Basically, I just do the whole apartment for Christmas every year, and Roy doesn't really care for my color scheme.
Okay.
But as the enterprising young fag that I am, I have to have a color scheme. All my ornaments are pink and purple and blue. And silver and white and clear, and they're all pretty, and that's what I do. And I'm getting them all out now. And over the past 10 years, I've spent close to $8,000 on Christmas ornaments.
What? Oh my God!
I like Christmas. I love Christmas. Christmas is my favorite time of year.
Really? Okay.
Yes, I love Christmas.
Well, I like it too. It's always fun. I like the parties though.
I haven't been any in a long time.
You should take pictures. I should see pictures.
I posted them in my LJ last year.
Oh yeah, I did. I remember. Yeah, that's right. I remember.
Oh yeah, now you remember reading my LJ. Oh yeah, that's right. Uh huh. Now you remember.
I can pull it up.
Where's the love?
Now.
Whatever, Maynard. Whatever. Okay, Roy wants the microphone back. So
all right,
let the diva have his moment.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Diva, my douchebag.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys are going to have a nice Thanksgiving, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess you're getting prepared for Christmas, too?
Oh, yeah, he's getting prepared already. So, mm-hmm. But But yeah, it'll be interesting to try the turkey that way. So okay. I'm letting him stay in charge of it. I have no idea what he's doing. So I'm like, you do it. I'll do something simple like the green bean casserole. You do everything else.
But. Maybe you can ask the audience what their style of preparing turkey. Maybe they know how to do it. Or
and what I would also like to hear from the audience is turkey disaster stories.
Oh, that'd be awesome! Yeah.
Does anybody have any Thanksgiving disaster stories? Be it disasters with the turkey. Or disasters with your family, anything. I would love to hear that.
Yeah, send emails to bearchaser@bearpodcast.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Nice butt. Yeah, sure. So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof, what a bear.
All right, how about some good old-fashioned Woof, what a bear feature? Okay, here's a guy who's going to attend the bear event. Called Midwest Bear Fest, which you'll hear later. Okay, so this guy, his name is Chris, and he goes by Grunter in Bear 411. And to introduce you guys to this feature for this episode, Mike is here for the weekend and for the holidays, and he's going to help me read Grunter's profile. Take it away, Mike.
All right, Grunter is from Chicago, and he's a bottom, which we need to clear that up because it might not be clear from his description here. So here we go. What happened to bears that like sex? God, he's jaded already. Listen to him. Your submissive butt boy is 35 years old, 5'11", 250 pounds, muscular chest, arms and legs, with the typical firm bear belly, brown hair, bearded with a flat top. I have two very talented and insatiable holes to suffer daddy's rock-hard boy splitter. My mouth is warm and wet and will be glued to daddy's cock, balls, and asshole, keeping the area slick and lubricated to daddy's specifications. My asshole is a tight, furry vortex of daddy bear pleasure, capable of accommodating any size tool daddy may decide to force inside, whether that tool be daddy's own man-sized cock, daddy's probing fingers or tongue, and perhaps, with the right relaxation and encouragement, daddy's whole hand.
Ow!
And any toys daddy might decide to bring from his toy chest. You should know that your butt boy is not a passive fucky. In fact, if daddy's already hard and lubed, this butt boy will rear back on daddy's cock and fuck himself on daddy's tool until daddy says it's time to stop. Which would be the point when daddy says, stop fucking calling me daddy. Multiple penetrations in the front and back really, really excite this butt boy. And that's why butt boy encourages daddy to introduce butt boy to daddy's many bathhouse friends. Oh, dear. Your butt boy loves the taste of cock and will greedily slurp down any juice that may get released from daddy's ball sack and the ball sacks of daddy's friends. To get your butt boy extra turned on, be sure to smear any produced cum on butt boy's face, beard, asshole, chest, and whole body. Parading this butt boy around in public, marked with daddy's cum. God, I hope he's not going to be at Kroger when I go later tonight. Makes this boy's butthole twitch and squirm, ready for a good hard fucking. I'm looking for heavy-set, bearded, suit-wearing bear daddies. Very verbal and aggressive. Thick beer can cocks. Thicker is better than longer. Unrepentant tops who fuck long, hard, and shoot multiple loads. Heavy ass play. Rimming, fucking, getting fucked. Officially versatile. Oh, please. Okay, officially versatile. Officially. But love to bottom. Come play. Ass toys. Ball licking. Cigars. Pipes. 420. Aroma. Slings. And puppy dogs. And whatever else daddy wants his boy to do.
Puppy dogs. No puppy dogs. No animals will be injured in this profile. Okay, so thank you, Mike, for introducing Grunter, and he's Chris. He goes by Grunter and Bear 411.
And he's cute.
He's cute. He's really cute. Check him out. I would like to send birthday greetings to JD. He goes by Bear Seattle in LiveJournal. It's his birthday around Thanksgiving. Yeah, I remember from last year. Yeah, last time I saw JD was Memorial Day weekend. He was with Ian and Tim. Shortstack Bear, yes. Also, Shortstack Bear's birthday was a few weeks ago. So, happy birthday, Tim. I'd like to do a shout-out to Gaze OK. I hope you're feeling okay now. And, yeah, he's been sick lately, so I hope you're doing okay. Also, to Ricky at Foul Monkeys. Hey, Ricky, how are you doing? And another one, James, from Fort Lauderdale. And sometimes he's he joins Ricky at Foul Monkeys. I think, I don't know if you're a regular there, James. But, yeah, James and I have been talking lately. And, yeah, probably I'll have them in the show soon. Okay. All right, let's now go to the events. December Bear Leather Dance on December 1st, Rochester, New York. Come dance your ass off and ring in the holiday season. Join us for the December Bear Leather Dance at Nasty D's. I think I mentioned this last year. $2 cover charge gets you a free drink, and Santa will be available for pics with all of you naughty boys. Yeah, for $5 with proceeds going to the Isaiah House. Okay, so for directions, go to www.grindingbears.com. They have a new format on their website, but it's not yet updated yet, it seems. Check it out anyway. Okay, now, next event is Midwest Bear Fest 2006 in Indianapolis, Indiana, December 15th. Okay, our annual Bear Run, Midwest Bear Fest, will be held December 15 to 17 in Indianapolis, Indiana. Our weekend event has always been a great favorite with the Bears, and we know this year will prove no different. Okay, their host hotel is Clarion Hotel and Conference Center. However, it's now full. Okay, so the host hotel is full. So you have to go to their Overflow Hotels page for information on nearby hotels. So their Overflow would be at Budget Inn and Fantasy Suites. Ooh, Fantasy. Red Roof Inn and Motel 6. Okay, so if any of you guys are going to Midwest Bear Fest, I'd like to hear from you. Send me an email at bearchaser@bearpodcast.com or call the voicemail line at 206-222-BEAR. Tell me about your weekend there, okay? As of this moment, about 286 bears have registered for the Midwest Bear Fest. So, wow, plenty of people. Okay, so check out the website at www.midwestbearfest.com. Okay, if any of you guys are in Houston, please join the Houston Air Bears on their holiday party. That's going to be on December 9th. So join the White Elephant Gift Exchange. Yeah, it's always fun. Okay, so that's it. Now, back to the show.
All right, it's time for us to do some shout-outs.
Yeah. Shout-outs going on here. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my shout-outs are technically announcements. First and foremost, I don't have too many details yet for everybody, but for those who are interested, the run packages for the Texas Bear Roundup are going on sale, it looks like, next month. We don't have exact dates yet or anything, but looks like that will be the time that... we'll be putting them on sale. Go to www.dallasbears.org for more details about the Texas Bear Roundup. Cell Block 12 is the theme of it this year. At the same time, beginning this weekend, if you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Turtle Creek Corral begins its annual Christmas concert series. This year, the series is called Family, Pipes, and Drums. The sounds of the holiday season will reverberate like none or other in their 27th year history. The Meyerson Symphony Center has never seen nor heard anything quite this. The breathtaking sounds of 225 singing men will be accompanied by a spine-tingling majesty of the Lay Family Organ, plus roof-raising sounds of 80 brass and percussion players from the Frontier Drum and Bugle Corps. This knockout holiday performance combines the spirit of the Broadway hits Blast and Stomp with the unequaled singing of the Turtle Creek Corral. So basically, imagine their vocals mixed with the Broadway shows Stomp and Blast, and you got pretty much what the show is going to be like.
I wonder if the Turtle Creek Corral has I think they had the show here in Houston with the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston.
Well, they're very well known. I mean, they've been in many documentaries. They've had records on the Billboard pop charts. Mm-hmm. Not the pop charts, but the classic charts. They've made Billboard, and I think they've even won a Grammy Award. So they're a very well-respected chorus, the Turtle Creek Corral.
Yeah.
If you're interested in buying tickets, tickets are now available on sale at their website, which is www.turtlecreek.org. There you'll find all the performances and the times and also get directions on how to get to the Meyerson Symphony Center. One last announcement that I have, and this is for everybody back in San Francisco, California. The Cubs Club of California is presenting a Charlie Brown Christmas tree, which is a benefit for Mama's Toy Drive and the Castro Community on Patrol. This is happening Saturday, December 9th from 3 to 8 p.m. at the Lone Star Saloon. Featured activities including a tree trimming party. You get a chance to design your own ornament. They're going to have a fruitcake demolition contest.
Ornament.
Ornament, yes. a fruitcake demolition contest. You get to do anything that you want to destroy the fruitcake except light it on fire. They will have a beverage bust, beer and soda, $7 buy-in. So as they say here, it's easy on the pocket. They'll have raffle drawings for all sorts of prizes. There's going to be Christmas cookies and fudge, and also corny carols. So you get to sing along with other cubs and bears while you're in there. yes. The MC elves are going to be Ray Middling, who was California Cub 2006, and Dick Daniels, who's now Mr. Lone Star 2007, with a special appearance by Santa Bear. As they say here, let's
direct
help
from
him come.
The mall?
Oh, I don't think so. No, not a Lone Star Santa Bear. No, I don't think so. Basically, we just need to help him come more than once a year. So, if you want more information about this event, all you have to do is visit the website, which is CubsClubCA.com. Alrighty, and what about you?
Okay, so we have some friends of MySpace. Yes, MySpace.com/BearPodcast. Okay, you guys visit there. You're going to see some friends there. Tommy and a few more. Michael West is there too. And I also have a few more. Brian from New Jersey. Johnny Conflict from New York.
Oh, what a name.
Brandon. Yeah, Johnny Conflict. Brandon from California. And my friend James in Pennsylvania, yes. He used to live here in Houston, and then he moved to Arizona, and then now he's in Pennsylvania. James, if you're listening, you move around a lot. Okay, so yeah, I was wondering, James, if you're coming to Houston for the Houston Air Bears holiday party. If you are, sign up. Go to the website, HoustonAirBears.com. Okay, so one more. Ricky from Foul Monkeys.
Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Ricky. Yeah,
you
I
know,
just found out.
His ass.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I found out, I've been listening to their podcast. It's Gina Left. Have you heard
yes.
about that? Gina
yes.
Left. So I don't know why, but yeah, I'll email you, Ricky, okay? All right, so I guess that's it, right? Any more announcements on your side?
Well, just a simple little plug, I guess, for my podcast. I recently posted a very special episode of The Fur Factor. Once in a while on the show, I've been revealing little-known facts about myself, and I revealed a big one on this episode, and that,
ooh,
I guess,
one.
Yes, a big one. I revealed the big one. I guess in celebration of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' wedding, I tell the story about how I almost became a Scientologist myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It, believe it or not, it almost happened. So to hear the full juicy details as to my experiences in the world of Scientology, you can go to my website, which is thefurfactor.podshow.com.
Okay, so what else? Oh, yeah. One more shout-out. What's his name? Yeah, of course, Mario. Mario, the one who was a guest here a few episodes ago. He's now in Iraq. So, and it's pretty scary.
Be safe out there, Mario.
Yeah, he called me up earlier and then, Mario, where are you now? I'm in Iraq. And, you know, he's telling me about those explosions happening and stuff like that. It's pretty scary. So be careful there, okay? So just watch your back, okay, Mario?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I guess that's it.
That's it.
Guys, if you have any comment, send me emails at bearchaser@bearpodcast.com.
And you can also leave us a voicemail at 206-222-BEAR.
Yeah, it's 206-222-2327. Yeah, leave your voice messages and play it in the show. Okay, so how about you? How do they reach you?
You can contact me at xcalibear@gmail.com. Or you can call me on my voicemail line at the Fur Factor, which is 206-666-4649.
Okay. So, all right. Thank you, everyone, for listening and joining us in the show. Many whoops and many hugs.
The faggot's out of here.